You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 20. I'm believing God to touch you, minister. 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some of the that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea in the sight of Syria. And behold, they are Hezion and Tamar, and there is Enon-Gedad. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. Use me tonight, God, as an oracle of your divine presence. God, let me tonight, let the words of my mouth be in your heart, God, and that I'd speak your word. Put in my mind words tonight that will touch the heart of someone in this building. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right down, and say, hey, God wants to touch you. Fishing to lay hands on a couple on the front row. I might pray about it afterwards. Glory. Amen. I want to talk to you and continue the message I started this morning. Simply says, all I need, or all you need, is a word. Glory. You know, Jehoshaphat was under attack from all kind of directions. If you haven't figured it out yet, there was enough people to come from every side of Jerusalem. He was kind of boxed in, didn't know where he was going to turn. And I know there are a lot of people today that maybe you're in that position. And somebody said, well, preacher, you preached that this morning. I understand that. But there's people back tonight that didn't move this morning who left here worried about their financial trouble, worried about their physical health, worried about some problems going on in their life. And maybe tonight they're suffering from oppression or depression or something that's been brought on by the fact that the enemy has them surrounded and they are in fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. And because of that fear, they have forgotten who their God is, and they've allowed that fear to destroy the presence of God that could move them to a greater knowledge of who God is. And I want to tell you something tonight. Amen. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. I want to tell you, fear can be the same way. You know, I mentioned to you this morning about vampires, and I did not realize I'd get hit this afternoon by a pastor who called me to tell me he's got trouble in his church because grown-ups in his church believe this stupidity that there's such things as zombies. You notice what I said, so don't run up to me after church going, preacher, I believe in them, because you know what I'm going to call you? This is a new saying I got. You know. You don't know. There ain't no such thing as a body walking around without a spirit and a soul in it. You don't exist that way. Come on, church. And we got people believing this junk because they seen it on TV. I've seen a lot of stuff on TV I knew wasn't good. I remember I used to watch Cowboys. I saw a guy get hit with an arrow 2 days later, be on another show. Not a thing wrong with him. He's dead in that other show. Glory. Whew. They raised the dead. Glory. Changed his name. Gave a new horse. Glory. Hello? And don't none of you ladies look at me. Y'all watch them stupid soap operas, and one of them dies with cancer on one show and gets a better contract on the other. Glory. Come on. Y'all may not believe this, but one time my home church at Buell, there was a lady come in and requested prayer for the lady, and the pastor looked at me and said, who is that? I don't know. He said, well, my Lord, you can't have everybody down here. I said, you've been here 15 years or 20 yourself. He said, I have no clue. After church, we found out there was some woman on a soap opera she was watching. Glory. And she was so into it, she really wanted prayer for this lady. Glory. I'm thinking, man, she makes more money than we do. Let her make a donation. Listen, fear is a child of the devil. Job tells us in Job 3:25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I'm afraid of is come unto me. Amen. You know, church, we live in a world where we allow fear to destroy us, to dominate us, to mess us up. The only way to move forward is to conquer the spirit of fear. Fear, it will make us to the point that we can't make the right choice. But if we turn to God and we get a hold of God, I've got a God who can help us. Could you say amen to that? Praise God. Listen, amen. God gave the church everything we need to overcome the life and advance the kingdom of God. Amen. We need to understand the weapons we have to fight with are not weak. We've got people right now, well, preacher, you just don't understand. No, you do not comprehend what God has put at your hands to use against the enemy. Amen. The next time you talk about what the devil's done to you, realize you've got everything you need to wear him out every day of your life. Could you say amen? Well, preacher, you can't give me scripture. Romans tells me in Romans chapter 16, I shall put Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. The trouble God's keeping you on top of him. Amen. Well, preacher, you just crazy. No, I'm not. I know what the Bible tells me all the way back to Genesis. You know what he told the devil? I'm going to put enmity between thee and the seed of woman, and he's going to bruise your head. Hello? I don't know if you understand that or not, but if I am adopted into the child of God and I'm now in the family of God, I got a right to tap dance on the head of Satan every day of my life. And according to the word of God, I got a right to overcome him. And what I've got to do is use the weapons. Listen, several years ago, some men went to an island in the Pacific. They found people that were still living old primitive ways. They were using spears and all this stuff. They were having problems because there were some big animals on that place. So one of the guys got smart and he gave them a gun. He said, oh, it's easy to use. He just cocked the gun, shot it in the air, showed them how to shoot it. They went back 5 years later. They don't have no bullets left in the gun. But they ain't killed nothing with it because every time an animal come, they thought you shot it in the air. They never used what they had to take care of the animals. And can I tell you, we got folks in the church that you're sitting around and you're not putting bullets in your gun because you're not reading the word. You're not getting ready for war because you're not praying. And when the devil comes against you, you're going to run to somebody saying, help me. Why don't you help yourself? Why don't you get a hold of God and realize what Jehoshaphat realized when the enemy came against him? He called on the name of God, got a hold of God and overcome his fear, and by the grace of God won victory. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. The Bible said, for we walk not after the flesh, but we do war. We do not war after the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's what I told the preacher this afternoon. I said, read that scripture to him. Their imagination says it's a zombie. Word of God says, I have to cast that junk out. Huh? Come on, church. Some of y'all look at me like, I believe in zombies. See me at church. Glory. I'll go anywhere you say they are and stand and wait on them. Damn to take the best shot. Why? I don't believe they exist. As long as I don't believe in them, they can't hurt me. Glory. Hello? And I said, preacher, you're crazy, certifiable. I'm just crazy enough to believe my God can take care of me. And I ain't worried about some junk that somebody throwed out there because I'm not going to live my life bound by fear over things that don't exist. I got enough trouble being worried about stuff I know exists. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Notice what it said. The knowledge of God. What are you talking about? If you've got the knowledge of God, it won't come against you because it cannot stand against the knowledge of God. Could you say amen to that, church? Ooh. That's getting back to the word, isn't it? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But it doesn't matter how bad, how powerful your weapon is if you don't ever pick it up. You can have an M16 spiritually, but if you can't shoot it, it ain't doing you no good. Glory. Amen. Notice this. If we let God have his way in our life, we overcome these things. Amen. What seems to be weakness actually is the most powerful thing you can have. Hello? Never be too proud to cry out to God and ask God to do something in your life. Hello? Amen. The Bible tells me that when the enemy came against him, Jehoshaphat went on a fast and said, let's call on the name of the Lord. When's the last time trouble happened in your life and the first thing you thought about was calling on the name of the Lord? Come on, church. We were sitting at Jack's the other day, one morning, and this guy comes by and he said, guys, I really wish y'all remember me in prayer. I'm not sure he wanted what he got. But right there in Jack's, we jumped up and got around and prayed for him. I know one thing, he ain't forgot it. He come by a few days later, and I like you guys. Y'all didn't wait on us. Y'all just went ahead and did it. Glory. Amen. I didn't figure he was wanting us to do it later on, because you know what happens if you wait? You'll pass him and go, man, I forgot about that guy. I'm supposed to be praying for him. So I don't take no chances. I figure you go ahead and take care of it now. You got it covered. Come on, church. Amen. Glory. That's good preaching. And listen, Jehoshaphat prays, and he said, hearken, all you Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. This is the prophet speaking. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what you talking about? The problem folk in the church world have is they keep telling me they're fighting the devil. It ain't your fight. All you got to do is fight yourself. When you overcome yourself and you get yourself sold out to God, you don't have to fight the battle against the enemy, because suddenly there's something going to rise up in you. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. I got scripture for it. Let God arise and the enemy will be scattered. And when I sell out to God and I let God begin to move inside of me, I don't have to fight the enemy, but God himself will come against the enemy. It's not my battle, it's his. And the Bible said, he said, the battle's not ours, it is the Lord's. Church, we need to get a hold to this. I'm going to tell you right now, God can change everything. I don't care what the banker says. I don't care what the doctor says. One word from God can change everything. Hallelujah. I've told this story here, and some of you still don't believe it. I was preaching in Inslee one night. Freedom may remember that church. Them some wild folks. She may not remember that one night there was a group there called God's Property. And y'all may not understand, I don't even know if she realizes that she actually shook hands with a young man by the name of Kirk Franklin. I met him in New York while I was preaching up there, and he was in the Birmingham area, and he knew the pastor of that church, and he brought his group over there. And when he saw me, he said, I don't know your name, but I know you. Amen. He said, my Lord, I remember in New York, we had church a couple of nights I was with you. Amen. They got up there and they sang, they sung about the cross, and they throwed their arms out, and that place come apart. Amen. We had church. Now, I want to tell you something, church. They had church 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They weren't like us. They weren't on a timetable. I mean, I got there at 7 o'clock, sat in the preacher's office to 8, because I wasn't even going out there. They were bringing people in vans so they'd get enough folks for me to preach. About 9 o'clock, we'd start church. About 9:30, something to 10, they'd turn me loose. It'd be 500-600 folks in that place, and when I got through preaching, I had to pray for every one of them and some others they could get off the street. Oh. Every night, one night we're up there, and I'm starting to get ready to pray for people. And I've noticed some people moving in and out the back. And I went out in the back of that church, see what was going on. I looked up one of the deacons. I said, hey, pray for that lady over here. I'll be out back. And I went in the back. I get back there, and there's a little girl laying on the floor. She ain't moving. I walked in. I said, what's up? Pastor's wife looked up. She said, she's out. I said, do we need to call an ambulance? This lady on her knees beside us said, child, she's been dead for 15 minutes I know of. Need to call a coroner. Oh, we need to pray. That's exactly how she said it. Call a coroner or pray. Next thing I know, they 4 or 5 of them ladies done got down around that girl and decided the coroner wasn't an option. Some of y'all need to fasten your seatbelts because you're already trying to leave. Glory. And I'm back there going, they're trying to trick me. I'm dumb old country boy. I don't take nothing for what it is. I make sure what's happening. So I got down beside her and I pinched her nose and put my hand over her mouth. You know what that did? That proved to me that while I was holding her nose and her mouth, she wasn't breathing. So I'm not getting tricked. This girl's dead. And I'm down there praying with them now because I'm going, oh man, I don't know how this is going to work out. Where it get around, I got another dead in a revival. Glory. And we're sitting there praying, and all of a sudden I hear somebody speaking in tongues, and I look down, it's the little girl laying on the floor. And she come up off that floor, and she took off down the hall, and I took off right behind her because I wanted to see what was going on. She cleared that door, went through that sanctuary. There's 600-700 people in that sanctuary. She went down one side, across the back, up the other side. When she made the front of the building, nobody in that building was standing, and not a one of them knew what was going on out back. But as she went through that building, the Spirit of God was so strong, it knocked people out in the Spirit. We had people saved, people healed, people delivered. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what happened to you? She passed me, and I woke up at the bottom of the stairs. I don't know how I fell. I just know I was there. I want to tell you, church, we got to get back to that place. We believe what God says. If thus saith the Lord will work, we can knock the enemy out and have victory like we've never had before. One word from God will make us unsinkable. One word from God makes us unbreakable. One word from God makes us unshakable. If we get a word from God, He'll turn our weakness into strength, our drought into a flood, our nothing into much. Glory. Hallelujah. Matthew 8:8. Listen to this. The centurion asked the Lord, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but if you'll speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. Y'all know the story. Centurion comes to Jesus and said, I got somebody sick in my house. I need you to pray for him. Jesus said, well, give me a minute. I'll go with you. He said, no. You don't need to come to my house. You speak the word and he'll get healed. Glory. Hello? Notice the difference between this man and Jairus. Jairus is upset because he didn't act like he was going to start with and got held up a couple of times on the way. This man turns around and says, I know authority. I have men under me. If I command them, they do what I say. I don't question it because they're not going to go against my authority. And I believe, God, you are a God of authority. I believe if you speak the word, I don't have to have a vote of the 24 elders. I don't have to see if it's all right with a college of angels. I don't care how many demons are standing around. When your word comes out, your word will do what your word is supposed to do. And church, we need to get this word, put it in our heart, and realize it is exactly what God said. And he meant what he said. And if we'll hold on to it, he can still do it. Woo! Glory. He sends the word. The centurion said, all I need is a word. 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 21. They arose early in the morning, and they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. Thank God for people with a word. Hello? The Bible said they get up in the morning. Now, I'll show you something, church. They're surrounded. The enemy's on all four sides. And they leave the fortification. We got church folk. They really have a good time while they're in church. But if they ever get outside the fortification, they ain't doing nothing to start no fight. They ain't taking no chances because they don't have the fortification around them anymore. Hello? You know what Jehoshaphat understood? I'm not going to overcome because the walls of Jerusalem. I'm not going to win because I got walls around me. I'm going to win because I've got God. And God's going to go before me. And I'm going out. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible tells me that he appointed singers. And he said, I want you to sing about the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I think it's important that you understand where they went. They went to the wilderness of Tekoa. That word Tekoa translated means the valley or the wilderness of the trumpet. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? The trumpet. The shofar. This is a trumpet. They went to the place where they worshiped God with the trumpet. Do you realize the Jews will blow the shofar before they start service? They blow the shofar at the end of the service because they believe and teach that demons cannot decipher between the sound of this trumpet and the voice of God. And when they hear the sound of the trumpet, they believe they're hearing the voice of God, and they clear out of the neighborhood because they don't want to have to deal with God. And the minute they begin to get to that trumpet, they believe demons run. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. You couldn't prove that. You want to. The Bible said the voice of the Lord is like a mighty trumpet. And I want to tell you, church, if we could get to that place where we could come together in one mind, one accord, lift up holy hands and begin to magnify him, our voices coming together will make the sound of a mighty trumpet, and our praise will put demons on the road. Could you? Well, preacher, you don't understand. No, you don't understand the power God has put in your praise. Well, I don't have a trumpet. Oh, yes, you do. You go back and read, you're going to find out that when Satan was made, he had all kind of instruments in him. You ever noticed he didn't have a trumpet? God reserved that for himself. Satan make all kind of music, but he can't make a trumpet. Satan's over there. He's the choir director. He's got everything going. He's over all the music. He messes up, thinks he's God. God kicks him out. He's down on the earth, and all of a sudden God creates everything, and he's got it all fixed up, and he's over there mashing around some mud, forming some little feet and little hands, pulling a little body out, got a little head up there. Satan slips up and said, what are you doing now? I'm making your replacement. Some of y'all missed that. It's a perfect time for some of y'all to shout. Because you see, Satan used to be the one to worship God. When he got to thinking he was God, God kicked him out of heaven. But he created man. And he said, I'm going to create man in my own image. And then I want man to worship me in spirit and in truth. And we now are here for one purpose. We live to worship him. We live to magnify him. We live to lift him up. And can I tell you, you got something in you Satan does not have. The bottom of this, where they drill it out, it's called the hollow. Take your two fingers and put them right to the bottom of your ribs. Those of you who don't know where your ribs are, they're somewhere along in here. Now go, glory. You didn't feel much, did you? Right back and go, glory! What, did you feel something push against your fingers? That is what is called your hollow or your diaphragm. It is what opens up your belly so that can flow out of it pressure and power and anointing. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you've got a hollow, and then you've got a windpipe, and then you've got a mouth. And what you basically have is one of these things built into you so that when you want to, you can lift up holy hands and begin to magnify the Lord your God and give him praise. And when you do, your praise becomes as a sound of a trumpet, and your praise will put the demons on the run. Say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I just know the word. What happened? They went out singing praises unto God. Pop the next scripture up there. I've lost it. Glory. I can quote it to you probably, but I'll get it closer if he puts it behind me. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers of the Lord that they should praise God in the beauty of holiness. Next verse. Hey! And when they began to sing praises to the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You say, what are you talking about? They're over there singing, they're praising God, and the enemy's going down like flies with a swatter, because God puts ambushments out, and the demons that are trying to come against them are getting wiped out faster than they can come over the mountain. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? They got so confused and so confounded while the people were praising God that two of them turned on the other, wiped them out, and then killed each other. They didn't have to fire one arrow. They threw no spears, but yet the enemy was completely killed and destroyed because they sung praises unto the Lord God Almighty. And I tell you tonight, somebody in this house ought to lift up your hands and begin to magnify God and let the devil know, I'm not taking it anymore. Well, I ain't got no victory. Ain't no need me praising him yet. You keep waiting till you get victory to praise him. You ain't never gonna praise him. Let me share something with you, church. Y'all heard me tell about Kevin Wallace's church getting a $4 million blessing. Do you know that 6 months before that happened, now, Kevin, crazier than I am. I'm serious. I love him, but he's got some fries missing out of his Happy Meal sometime. Glory. Because you see, Jehoshaphat tells the people to do something that don't make no sense at all. We're going to go out. But we ain't carrying no weapons. We're just going to go sing. I can see the general's going, we're going to serenade these jokers while they're killing us. That's what church folks think. You start talking about, let's just praise God, believe God for victory. They're going, what? Have you seen my finances? Who cares? 6 months before they got that blessing, on a Sunday night, Kevin got the pastor's council or deacon board and the leaders of his church up on stage so everybody could see him. And they all thought he was crazy, but they did it anyway. He said, we're going to shout like we're debt free. He had them playing a piano. They went to shout, and he said, I gave them 10 minutes to shout. So we shouted for 10 minutes like we were debt-free. Church, just so you know, he was $2.9 million in debt. He wasn't debt-free, but they were shouting like they were. But you know what? That check they paid with that shout started turning around, and 6 months later, they are now debt-free. They owe nothing. They got money for ministry because they started praising God before they saw the end come. Can I tell you, you want to mess the devil up while the devil's fighting his greatest battle, you ought to throw up your hands and begin to magnify God and say, I don't care what's going on now. He is still worthy to be praised and honored and magnified. Hang on a minute. I got a little something to give. Some of y'all trying to jump up and I'm not through. Oh, no, y'all don't want to mess up my sermon. Oh. When they got to the battlefield, they walk up to look, see what's going on, and there are dead bodies everywhere. So they did what was normal in those days. They started collecting up the spoils. Do you know they couldn't tote them all back the first day? They couldn't get them all the second day or the third day. Now, go to about the 24th verse, I believe it is. If it ain't there, I'll get you to move on. There's where they got the dead bodies. Next verse. There's where they're toting back the spoils. And he said they couldn't get them in 3 days. Next verse. And on the fourth day, 26th verse where it's at. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baccarah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place is called Baccarah to this day. I don't want to miss this. So I'm going to read it. I took this straight out of the dictionary. What dictionary are you looking into? The original text. I pulled it up in Hebrew. See, that word Baccarah comes out of Hebrew. It comes from three different words. The first word, think about this. They go to this valley. They've been working and toiling for 3 days, toting back stuff after God's wiped out their enemies. They go to this valley. And the connotation, one connotation of the word, says it is a reservoir at which camels kneel as a resting place. They go to this valley where they can rest from all the dry, barren junk they've been going through, because there's a reservoir of freshness there, and they can get on their knees and refresh themselves. Amen. You say, preacher, what you talking about? We got folks in the church. It's been a long time since you really refreshed yourself in the presence of Almighty God. Once you got you a good drink of the anointing of the glory of God in your life and left here filled up from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. But can I tell you, from my deal around camels, I've never seen camels that have stopped drinking till they're full. And I think it's time some of us made up our mind. I don't care what time it is tonight. I came to get to the reservoir. I came to get touched of God. I came to be blessed. Could you say, oh, shut up. The second word, which is the word translated here, these are roots of the same word, means to be blessed. That's why they went to the valley. It was the valley of blessings. And they go there saying, we're going to bless God because this is where we were blessed. We've left the trumpet stage now. We're blessing God and we're getting blessed. Hallelujah. Because you see, that latter root word, the base word this all come from, it means to be prosperous. To be full. Hallelujah. So now here they are. Enemies got you surrounded. You don't know which way you're going to turn, but you get a hold of the word of God and you begin to follow that word and you make up your mind, I'm going to do what God said do. And you get out your seat, throw your hands in the air and just begin to magnify him. It don't matter the enemy's still there. It doesn't matter if the spears are going by your head. You're still praising God because victory's on the way. And when the victory comes, you're not only blessed with what you pick up, but you go down to the valley and you get a freshing and an anointing, and God prospers you with the very thing that once was trying to tear you down. Stand with me all over the house.